This is Will's Band of the Week for September 8th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Grant, live in studio.
Hello.
You haven't been live in studio in a while.
It's been a few months. I've done one thing this year, officially, I think.
I didn't go back and look. It just seems like it's been a while.
Yeah.
So it's time for a Grant's Underground, right?
I think it's due. Yeah.
Yeah. The Underground is getting more electronic these days.
You could say that. Yeah. It's definitely... What I'm interested in, what I'm exploring, is electronic underground.
So, yeah, I mean, you completely have mastered the guitar underground. So
yeah,
it's like,
I pretty much just transcended and surpassed traditional instruments entirely.
Where are you going to go, though, when you master the entire electronic world? Classical?
That's a good question.
Classical underground?
I don't know. Field recording or classical or something.
Jazz underground?
Yeah.
It could be
radio,
cool.
Pirate radio?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably won't run out of things, right?
It's unlikely, yeah.
I hope not. So, let's see. Rather than... This will be a little bit untraditional for us. We have so many things. You've got several. Mm. And I've got a whole bunch. I've got to play some catch-up. And, you know, sometimes we just, you know, bands just don't rise to the level of being podcast-worthy. And we just...
Yeah.
They never get featured on the podcast. But I have so many. And a whole bunch of them just seem to me to be podcast-worthy. So we're gonna rattle them off. It's gonna be music focused this week.
Yes, content centric, not brand centric or whatever we usually are.
Right. Usually we're pretty brand centric.
Oh yeah.
People don't care about the music; they just listen for us for our charm.
Yeah. For our magnetic personalities.
Right. Well, that's pretty much it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's see. I've got the whole Grant's Underground list. Across my browser here.
Yeah.
All linked us. You said some of these might be on Apple Music or Spotify, but you're not sure which ones.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you'd know, you can tell us as we go.
Yeah.
You kind of linked these all to like web players, mostly Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of it you can sample on Bandcamp and should be easy to find if you just look up the artist name, album name, you know.
Makes sense. Yeah. Find it wherever you can, right?
Yes.
On maybe they can find the CD. What do you think?
CD. There's a lot of vinyl. A lot of vinyl out there.
What do you
maybe
think is more...
A USB hidden somewhere or something.
I was just telling you that I saw... I didn't even read the article, but I saw a headline somewhere that said that vinyl sales have finally overtaken CDs. I don't know if that means like worldwide or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about it, and I don't even know the... like. What's the curve of vinyl sales? Is it still going up or is it starting to level off or go down? I don't know. But it definitely makes sense to me that CD sales would be going down.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you buy some big bulky thing to get a digital file of something?
Yeah, less people have cars with CD players. And I think that's right. Sort of what was keeping the format alive.
And there's a small element of artwork, I guess. There's about as much artwork with a CD as there would be with a cassette, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could just make business cards, and that's like almost, it's like most of a CD artwork, what it is.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. Well, anyway, so where was I going with that? Probably that you would not find these things on CD or want to anyway, right?
Yes.
But you'll find, yeah. Well, anyway, you're going to tell us all about these excellent selections. So what are we going to start with?
Starting with this project called De Bons Empires, French name, recorded in Belgium, which is a partially French-speaking country, by two guys who I enjoy the solo output of. One of them I'm talking about later because he did a split. But anyway, you'll hear more about these characters from me in future podcasts, probably, because they have a lot of good output.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess I should just play something.
Yeah.
And then we can dissect it or whatever.
This is EP number 2.
Yeah. It came out at the same time as EP number 1. They're both good, but this is the one I wanted to sample from. So let's start with track 3. It's called Least Liked. To Bones on Pierre.
Yeah, from Chicago, apparently.
Yeah, one of the guys is from Chicago. And the other guy is from southern France and lives in Belgium.
So you can do that now.
Yeah,
like you can have your bandmate be halfway across the world, just like you can have your podcasting cohorts across the world.
Yeah, I think these guys like improvising, and they record kind of quick, like one takes, and not too much editing after the fact. Part of the reason why I'm interested in it is just the tools they use to make it. It's very drum machine heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like I don't hear it and immediately think drum machine. It sounds like there's like different kinds of synthesis going on and stuff. So I like how they're putting all this stuff together and using different tools than usual. So yeah, maybe we should play one more song from this one. I think track 6 or track 2. I don't know. I've listened to track 6 less, so I want to hear it now. It's called Centipedes.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, there's some really crashing percussion.
Yeah. If you listen to this on a big speaker system, there's really heavy bass. And I think for a lot of like dance style music, it helps the experience a lot to be able to hear the bass on a big system.
Yeah.
And you just feel it more. Sort of feel what the artist was going for, I think.
Yeah, like the headphones we're using, even though they're pretty good quality headphones, they might not pick up that really low stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can hear the details, but you can't feel them per se.
Right. Yeah. All right. De Bons en Pierre.
Mm-hmm. All right. This one, this is the one I've had for the longest. This is an artist I might have talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah, I think you have. So. The name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a guy named Christopher Taylor from Colorado. He records as Body Meat. He moved to Philadelphia for experimental rock prowess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is his most recent thing. And it was it got reviewed in Pitchfork and stuff. And they were like lukewarm on it. But you know, I think he's underrated still, despite that.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, you toil in the indie rock world or whatever, and then finally you get Pitchfork to review you, and they're like, 6.4.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much how it goes.
I don't know what they gave this. I think I might have seen that they reviewed it, but...
yeah, like a 6 or 7 something.
But the thing is, if you... Just to get reviewed, like, who cares what the number is, right? If you got reviewed, that means they felt like they needed to pay attention to you for some reason.
Still cultural capital
right.
on another level.
Yeah. Right. So it's called Truck Music by Body Meat.
It's kind of hard-edged pop music. Let's start with the first track. It's called Combo.
I cannot be wired up too many ways that I like. Pull my plate aside, like be with you. I'ma see the truth over how we do. Running, I'm still waking up. I'm on fire with love. I can't be with you. Come on, wake with love. I can't be with you. Come on, wake with love. I can't be with you. Come on, wake with love. Running, running, I'm still running. Come on, wake with love. I can't be with you.
Body Meat.
Yeah, MIDI and sampling. I don't think it belongs to a certain genre, but there's some interesting rhythmic switch-ups and stuff. So people are going to compare it to like footwork or something. Proggy rhythmic genres.
On his Bandcamp page, he's got his tour dates, which all cool bands put their tour dates on Bandcamp, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he's playing out several of the familiar indie rock style venues. Such as the Barracuda in Austin. He's going to be playing in Chicago at the Bottom Lounge. 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis.
Classic.
So yeah, got to do that. All right, let's play another track.
All right, I'm going to pick probably the most mellow track I'll play. It's got some keyboards on it. It's called Two Again.
Tell me what it is. sounds polite. I could be all polite. I just turn again. And let it wear you out for life. I could be all polite. I just turn again. Tell me where you are for life.
Not the whole track, was it?
Technically not the full song.
Yeah.
Right.
We didn't allow the fade out completely. Or we altered it just enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a creative license taken.
Christopher Taylor would not sue us, would he?
No, I don't think he's that kind of person.
He'd appreciate that we played it.
He puts his own songs on YouTube and stuff, so.
Yeah. So we checked. We did some music journalism while we were playing that, and Pitchfork called it genre colliding mutant pop.
I mean, close enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what you said, that it was sort of genre colliding or whatever.
Yeah.
Body meat.
Yeah. Keep watching them. I think he's going to keep putting out interesting stuff.
Cool. All right. No Madison show, though, of course.
Definitely.
It's not cool to do Madison shows anymore. It's gone out
not
of
really.
Vogue.
It was, maybe it was kind of cool at some point. I don't know. When the frequency existed, it was cool.
Yeah, I was just complaining. I mean, I don't think it's like really totally uncool. And I shouldn't be complaining so much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, if Madison loses cred, then our affiliation with Madison loses cred too. And we all lose. It's a sad thing.
We're just those people that drive to Milwaukee or Chicago now.
Yeah. Of course, we have a Brooklyn correspondent and a Melbourne correspondent. I mean, that's like two of the probably biggest cities in the world for independent rock and roll, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Are we going to move on to band number three?
Yeah, let's do it. This is one guy, so technically not a band, but I think he's in a band. Also featured on the podcast before.
Yes.
Russian dude records as Batekno. His name is Pavel something, some Russian thing.
Uh-huh.
He put out a thing that I talked about. It was good. And this is a more of like a minimal wave techno style than his previous stuff, which is, you know, there's sort of a genre called minimal wave, and there's also a label called minimal wave that his last thing came out on. But this is the most minimal wave thing he's ever made.
We're going to find out what minimal wave means now. This is educational.
You're going to learn about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just play some for y'all to experience. Track three is my favorite. It's called Orient ACD.
Thank you.
That's Botechno from his EP, I guess you'd call it, right? Called Minimal Cuts.
Yeah.
And they're minimal, right?
They're minimal, yeah. So another one that would sound good on giant speakers. So part of what techno and minimal techno is just sort of like, rather than melodic progression, there's like tonal progression.
Yeah.
So like that song is very driven by like filter sweeps and stuff, but not necessarily like the notes changing or anything.
Right.
And I like sort of what you can do with that song architecture. So let's maybe play one more from this.
Yeah, why don't we... I have a question before we do that.
Yeah.
He's from Moscow, according to this, and his description on Bandcamp says, gently modulating, dubwise, fun-spirited, and most of all, funky bangers from deep inside, MCK.
MCK
must mean Moscow, right? Even though there's no K in there.
Maybe that's their airport code or something?
Yeah, maybe. But I was wondering, and this is probably a naive question, but if you live in Moscow, is there any kind of like prohibition on musical expression or whatever? You always hear about...
Oh.
You
know? Yeah, there might be prohibition on like the political content of your music. I don't know, though.
But it's not like he's... Like, that's scary for him to be producing this or whatever. He'd get arrested.
I doubt it. I kind of doubt it. I mean, they have techno clubs and stuff in Russia.
Yeah.
So they're not totally anti-expression, I think.
Yeah. And what about, like, sharing things with the Western world, you know, on the internet? Are they not supposed to do that?
I don't know. I don't know if there's, like, Russian Bandcamp or if they use different services.
Or a related question, do they have access to, you know, the worldwide internet?
I would think so, yeah. Because they hack us all the time, right? So they must have our passwords.
Good point. That's right.
Our Wi-Fi.
He's probably this guy, you know, he plays techno music, and then in his spare time, he interferes with U.S. elections.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's what they're all like. God.
All right. Another track from Botechno.
Yeah. Number one. It's titled Dubber Funk.
That one had some good use of reverb, I think.
Yeah.
When you have a really percussive thing, and then you color it in with little things that have little reverb elements to them.
Sparkles
of reverb.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I like the, more so than other sort of electronic people I listen to, I know this guy composes with a computer, and I think he makes it sound, human and natural.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good use of technology and effects.
Cool. All right, are we going to move on to the next one now?
I believe we should.
You've got a split this time.
This is an interesting one. A Russian label and one Russian guy.
I think we might get our podcast just deleted from the internet now because we're talking about
Russian
people.
If we say too much about the Russians, it's pretty risky.
So it could come from anywhere. It could come from the Russians or it could come from the U.S.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're in dangerous territory here, but we've never been afraid to be daring, right?
No, not at all.
Right. So what do we have here? From Arma Records.
Yeah. Well, we have one half of De Bons Empire, which is Maupa Mazzuchetti, the Belgian guy.
I was going to say he's probably not the guy from Chicago.
Yeah. and then a guy, Russian guy named Lauren, or L-V-R-I-N. I'm just going to call him Lauren.
Sounds good.
But yeah, slightly different musical styles, but I think it sort of makes sense to mash them together the way this split did. You can decide for yourself. We're going to start with the middle track from the Lauren side, which is called Die Hard.
That was a good example of what you were saying about how the sound texture changes as it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the notes changing, like some new crazy sound comes in.
Yeah, a different kind of cymbal or something.
Yeah. Yep, that's Lauren. That's what we're going to call him anyway, right?
Yeah. Hardware techno.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it says. It sounds like there's some spring reverb in there somewhere.
Yeah, it did sound like that.
Yeah. So,
He's a Russian producer entrenched in the guttural thrill of distorted hardware techno.
Yeah. I'd like to become even more entrenched in that as well.
All right.
On to side B.
Yep.
I'm going to pick from the middle again.
All right. This one is Maupa Mazzuchetti.
Yep. The track is called Finger Feet.
Thank you. Yeah. You can tell that's got some deep bass too. That we're not probably going that as low as it goes.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. So when I do the final production of the podcast and I lower the bitrate, right, to make it user-friendly for downloading, usually the bitrate of our podcast ends up being at about 77 or so.
Yeah, sure.
And I was thinking, when we do that, how will that affect the booming bass? So
probably cutting out a decent chunk of it.
The test is going to be when Anurag is driving around in his big truck with a huge subwoofer in it.
Yeah.
Like, how will it sound?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the question.
All right. Yeah, there's the split. That was Lauren and Maupa Mazzacchetti.
Yeah. I like, I think his music balances heaviness and humor pretty well. Like, there's a funny element to it. And, yeah, he released an album last year that was good. I urge you to check it out if you like this.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We're rocking along here. Now we've got Cardinal and Nun.
Yeah. This is a French producer, and I consider it sort of like electronic music, sort of driven by like a punk aesthetic. It's the general punk rock thing. Yeah. So let's give you a taste. I'm going to start with side A, A1. The track is called I Met the Devil.
Cardinal and Nun. They're on Lies Records, which apparently stands for Long Island Electrical Systems.
Yeah, that's right. That's the label is the main reason why I chose this release, because I've just been like watching them for a while. I'm probably gonna sift through their catalog if I make a end of the decade list, because they've put out a ton of good stuff in the past 10 years or whatever.
Cool.
But yeah, I think this one is special. I listened to another 2019 thing on here, and I just like this one a bit more. So, yeah, Lies, good label. We're going to play one more track from Cardinal and Nun from France. And it's the last one. It's kind of dirgy, called Disintegration.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. It's got some driving beat going there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Fun stuff. Cardinal and Nun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I see what you mean about the, well, you know, they have it in their own description too. They put, you know, punk and experimental and a bunch of other descriptions in there. But it has, it has kind of this driving beat to it, which is cool.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when music like pushes itself in a direction that it doesn't go naturally, like trying to make electronic music sound like it's coming from an amp speaker or something like that.
The first track that we played,
Gray from, Areas.
Yeah. The first track, I couldn't tell if the drums were like real recorded drums or electronic.
Yeah, they sounded like samples or live drums, but I don't know. Yeah. It could be just processed samples or something.
Yeah. But it's kind of a cool sound because it was not like anything else I've heard, you know, drum sound wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Very good. You've got one left.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, I don't know, making music with loops is really compelling to me right now. Just a loop is a song structure, and how you kind of get like automatic, like the equivalent of depth of field when you're playing with live instruments, because the guitar volume and drum volume fluctuates.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to like intentionally choose those things in electronic music. They don't just happen there the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like a pop art painting instead of a landscape photograph or something.
Wow. Good analogy.
Yeah, so one last release. This one is from Poland. A producer named Martina Maja, and she records as VTSS. And yeah, it's kind of different. It's a little more like rave or almost like EDM style of electronic music than I would normally listen to, but yeah, this EP just hits a sweet spot for me. And she released another EP this year that's also good, but this is the one I chose. Yeah, I think I just want to play a nice chunk of track number 3, which is called Nice Try. We'll be right back.
VTSS.
Yeah. Industrial techno or something.
Yeah.
Also would sound good on big speakers, but I think it's just like a dense mix and a lot's going on. So I've had satisfying experiences with it through headphones on the plane. So yeah, I recommend it for any time listening, any context.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool sound. I like it. Yeah. All kinds of percussion, you know. I think that one of the themes of all these things you've picked is that they all are very percussive.
Yeah,
like in different ways, you know. It's like there's so many different sounds you can get out of you know, you can have like the snare that sounds like a like slamming on a garbage can or it sounds more clean, and then you can have the bass drum that's really deep, or this one had more of like a mid bass kind of pump sound to it or something, which is
for sure
fun too.
Yeah, a lot of different textures you can coax out of the same gear.
Yeah.
Different recording techniques and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's great. The listeners will have their techno education now for a while, right?
Yeah. No, I'll probably bring more of this stuff to the podcast next time. Just on an electronic music kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting stuff.
Very good. Well, thanks. Excellent.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, you know, I've got a whole bunch of bands I have to play catch up. Do you want to stick around for a while?
I'll stick around for a few. Sure.
And then you'll probably just storm out of the studio at some point.
I'll totally lose my patience and
You have this disgusted look on your face.
Yeah.
I think I was mentioning this before. So I've been listening to so many things, and a lot of them just seem to be podcast worthy to me. So I thought what I'll do is I'll play just a couple of tracks from each of these. And I might not play quite as long of a clip as I usually do, so we can kind of keep it moving. So, should we do it?
Yeah, let's try it out.
I made a list, and it's not in any particular order. It's not intended to be any sort of a priority list. It's just the order of that I just happened to jot them down. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Young Gov. This is a guy named Ben Cook from Toronto. He's in another band. Can we say Fucked Up? Yeah, I said it. That's the other band that he's in Toronto. So he's got his solo thing is like a total jangle poppy thing. Sounds like he would be from New Zealand or something. Yeah. Actually, there's another band that he sounds exactly like. So I'm going to play a track, and then all the listeners are going to tell us what other band this sounds exactly like, but of course in a good way. We're playing a couple of tracks from the Gov 1 release, 8 songs, 23 minutes, call it whatever you want. Number 6, High on My Mind. That's Young Gov.
I'm not sure who it sounds exactly like.
Probably not a band you've listened to a lot. I think it sounds exactly like Teenage Fan Club.
Yeah, I barely listen to them. Sort of know what they sound like.
Yeah.
Like that.
Pretty catchy pop tune, I think. And it's all pretty decent. Let's play track 4, Love Always. Young Gov, well, it's pretty obvious there's a 12-string or more than one 12-string guitar in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jangle Poppy. That's from Gov 1, and Gov 2 is coming out in October, I think. So there you go. Check out Ben Cook, a.k.a. Young Gov. All right, the next one is Mannequin Pussy. You've listened to these guys, haven't you?
I saw them play at the Set Union South here.
Right. Yeah, I was there too. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were a pretty good live act.
Yeah, they're part of the Philadelphia scene, right? They're not just from Philadelphia. They're actually part of the scene.
They have cred.
And they, well, we talked about their last release called Romantic that came out in late 2016. And Jeremiah actually mentioned that on our 10-year anniversary podcast as something that he liked. So, yeah, this is a pretty good album, and it's definitely in the, you know, kind of pop-punk style, but I think really well done. So let's play number two called Drunk 2. Mannequin Pussy. The release is called Patience, and it's a nice, succinct 10 songs, 26 minutes.
Yeah.
Good length, right?
No time wasted.
Right. Let's play one more, number four, Fear and Desire. Mannequin Pussy. So I played sort of poppier tracks. There's some more screaming and variety on this too.
Yeah. So. I remember them being a little more punky and aggressive live, but I think they pull off that mellower style pretty well.
Yeah, they kind of do it both, I think. And this, for some reason, this release didn't get a whole lot of attention, it seems like. So I think it needs more. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep on rocking. The next one I've got is a Detroit band. There should be more Detroit bands, right?
There's some, but there could always be more, right?
Yeah. There's Proto Martyr and there's Fred Thomas and his five different yeah. bands. In fact, I think Fred Thomas, he might drum on this or be a producer or something of that nature. He has some has something to do with this, I think. It's called Deadbeat Beat. And, you know, I don't know if you would associate anything with a Detroit sound, but I don't know if this would necessarily be it. Probably wouldn't be. So now that I've got everybody curious, we're going to play something. The album from Deadbeat Beat is called How Far. This track starts out very, very, like, with sort of a generic riff, and then it kind of gets interesting, I think. Number two, You Lift Me Up. Deadbeat Beat. So it kind of sounds like a little bit of a 60s retro jangly thing.
Yeah.
But then when you know they're from Detroit and you think of it as being kind of, it's got a little grit to it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of reminds me of some of the post-punk bands in Chicago, like on Trouble in Mind and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. All right, one more from Deadbeat Beat, number six, called The Box.
I don't wanna hide it, yeah, I wanna let it.
deadbeat beat.
Yeah, good grit to the recording.
Yeah, the drums are kind of sound. It's a cool drum sound, yeah, isn't it? It's like definitely. I don't know, something about it, right? Mm-hmm. How is it that you can make drums sound like you're hitting them harder, right? It's it's kind of what it sounds like, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, cool. All right. That's deadbeat beat. Now we're going to move on. We're going to talk about Crumb. And so I learned about this band from Jeremiah. He said, hey, check out the Crumb album. So I did. And I like it. It's a, you know, I was going to say up till now, all of your stuff has been electronic synthesizer produced stuff. And all of my stuff has been all guitars, right?
Yes.
Now Crumb's going to change that a little bit because they're a more keyboard oriented band. Mm. So they are originally from Boston. I think they might have met at school there. And then, of course, they moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. And they've achieved it because they're actually coming to Madison playing at the Majestic. Yeah. So that's already...
Yeah, that's big.
Already playing the, I think it's, what, 600 people at the Majestic?
Mm-hmm.
Finally somebody's coming to Madison. Let's play something by Crumb. The album is called Jinx. And we are going to play track 3, Ghost Ride.
Daydreaming, I stay in the back seat. The slow beat rocks me back to sleep, keeps me on automatic. Press my face up close against the glass. I see the people when they pass, they move so automatic. You wake up when I go down, the radio reminds me I'm alive. We've been hearing it all night. Crying out, don't let this go. Don't let the laughter run. People come and people go, but lazy day, I'm so hungry. You melt me like a candle and a flame, but something's pulling you away. We've been stuck up here so long. The phone rings and reminds me I'm alive, and I'm feeling kinda high.
Okay, there's something that we've become really well known for on the podcast. It's when we describe a track and say something about it, and then we're completely wrong, right?
Really?
So like, I think that was pretty much all processed guitars and not synthesizers. As I was listening to it, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not a keyboard.
I mean, there's a lot of those guitar to keyboard sound type pedals out now.
Right. So it kind of could be, there could be both in there, but I was starting to think that, wait, no, I guess that was really more guitars than keyboards.
Yeah.
But there, it has kind of an electronic sound to it in some way, right?
Yeah. Even the drums sound like curated in a way. Like it's probably right. You're not just hearing a mic on a drum.
Right. Well, let's see. I don't know if my next pick is going to be a good example or not, but we're about to find out, aren't we?
Yes.
Number 4, Fall Down.
Soaking up the sweat till I'm putting you to bed, and you're
There, my description wasn't that bad on that one.
Yeah, that was pretty electronic heavy.
Yep, Crumb. So it's kind of dream poppy, pretty catchy, and I think I'm pretty interested to see them live. So I'll have to see. Might have to try to make that one. All right, now we're going to take it over to Nicholas's Backyard Barbecue, and we should just have a series, the Nicholas's Barbecue series.
Should have a festival in his backyard for all the bands in Melbourne that are constantly running through there.
Yeah, the Nicholas Backyard Festival. You could probably fit, what do you think, Nicholas? 2,000 people, maybe? Fence it all in?
For a festival our size.
Yeah. So I don't know, something to go for in the future. I can't remember where I ran across this, but another Melbourne band that's fun. It's called Life Strike. And I don't have a whole lot of indie rock journalism about them, but they have an album out called Primitive Future. So we're going to play something from it. Number 3, Basic Scratch. That's Life Strike. I was thinking maybe rather than being in the backyard, we should move them into the garage because it's sort of garage rocky. Yeah. It's Melbourne garage rock.
Do you think Taco Leg would reunite to play at our festival?
Oh my God, that would be so huge.
That'd be big, yeah. Big promotional boost.
I think, when did that Taco Leg album come out? Like 2007 or something?
Yeah, it might have been like 2011 or something.
That sounds more, yeah. Because I think it's probably been a while, but I think I've tried to research them to see whatever happened to them because that album was unbelievable.
It's pretty iconic.
I got to go back and listen to that. That's great. Were they from Melbourne? They're from somewhere
in Australia.
Yeah, they were Australian.
Right? Yeah.
Can't remember where, though. All right. That was a good reference. All right. Life Strike. We're going to play one more. Number 7. It's called Indoorupally Screamin'.
Thank you.
Life Strike.
Yeah, I like it. Fun DIY sounds.
Yeah, it's kind of lo-fi, kind of raw, garagey, but a little bit original, I'd say, for a garagey thing. Yeah. All right, we're going to keep it on going, and we've got two left. If you've made it this far, then you deserve the last two aging rocker, indie rock veteran bands.
Yeah.
So congratulations on making it this far. Let's talk about Ride. Did you ever hear of Ride?
Yeah, I listened to one of their albums.
They were a little bit, I think they were kind of, I'm saying were because they've been around. Actually, they started in 1988. They're from Oxford. Their first album called Nowhere came out in 1990. And I had that album on vinyl.
Is that the one with a big wave, like a big blue wave?
Yeah, it's blue. Yeah, okay, yeah I think so. Yeah. And I think they're sort of the, you know, that kind of middle ground between being sort of a shoegaze band and being like a Britpop band, right? And so the interesting thing to me is that I had two or three of their albums. They actually put out four albums through 1996. I looked it up. They all are like, they were all like in the top, I think the least successful of them hit number 21 in the UK. And several, I think three of them might have been top 10 UK releases. They were never really that big in the United States. But I always thought about them that I liked them, but I never liked the whole album. I always liked like half of it a lot. So they went 21 years and then put out their fifth album just 2 years ago. Now they've put out their sixth album. It's called This Is Not a Safe Place. And I'm kind of impressed. I'm actually very impressed because it's more consistent than I remember their albums being. It's a little bit long, so you could probably criticize it for being a little bit too long and not perfect, but pretty solid for a band that's been around for that long, I think. So I'm going to play track two, Future Love. That's Ride, their second comeback album, I guess you could call it. But yeah, I mean, I bet they must be just huge in the UK with that many top-selling albums. They could probably headline festivals over there. If they came over here, I don't know how big of a venue they would even play.
Yeah, but they're not as big as Slow Dive or My Bloody Valentine over here.
Right, definitely not. They didn't ever develop like the big cult following, I don't think.
Yeah.
Anyway, solid effort, I think. We'll play one more. Number five, Clouds of Saint Marie.
We'll be right back.
Let's Ride. Pretty Brit poppy, but I'll take it any day over Oasis.
Sure.
I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of anthemic or something.
Right. Yeah. Good guitar work. It just seems like, yeah. I don't know why it sounds, I don't know, maybe it's going overboard to say it sounds fresh, but it sounds, still sounds relevant, you know, to me, I think.
Yeah, I think they might be a fun live act.
Yeah, I think so. I would like to see them live. So come on over, Ride.
Yeah, do it. Indulge the Americans.
The new one is called This Is Not a Safe Place. So, all right, one more. How could we not save Slater Kinney for last? I don't know. We could have. We could have done anything because we do whatever we want.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so we had a little debate. Like, what do we think about this? Actually, when the album was just coming out, we had a little internal discussion behind the scenes among the podcasters. A couple of people were like, you know, I didn't really like their last one. I don't really like the recent Slater Kinney. And I liked the last one a lot. But this one is a little different. It's a, I don't know if you call this a left turn. What do you call this? So here's the deal. They enlisted Annie Clark, a.k.a. St. Vincent, to, I guess, produce is the word. But to be involved in the making of this album. And it really changed the sound that I think people are accustomed to. You know, boomy, keyboardy. It's just really different. And I think it was shortly before the album came out, the news came out that the drummer, Janet Weiss, left the band. Apparently over, at least it was implied, it's like, yeah, I'm just not into this album. I'm out of here. So <Yeah. laughs> it said, you know, artistic differences or something like that, which is a little bit weird, right? Because if you've got a, I don't know how many albums they have. I didn't look, but say they've got like 8, right? And you come out with a new album, you're not that into it. But I mean, it's not like you're going to be like playing that whole album live, right? Play three or four of them. Play three or four of them. You don't love those and play the old ones and have fun. So it seems weird that you'd leave the band over it, but it is a departure. And, you know, I kind of half like it. So I think it's, especially for anybody who's listened to them in the past, you should definitely at least give it a listen. You know, some of the big boomy sound is a bit hit and miss, I think. A couple of tracks are what I would call like sort of duds, but... overall, there's still a lot of decent stuff on it. So I'm going to go with a deep cut. We're going to go all the way to number 10 out of 11 called The Dog, The Body.
I'm just the dog, I'm just the body tonight. I'm just the fist without the will to fight, and when the shadow comes, I'll have a place to go and hide. You always said my head was what I'd never leave behind. I'm just a sketch, I'm just an outline tonight. I am the dog, I am the body.
Slater Kinney, the album is called The Center Won't Hold.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I don't really know what St. Vincent sounds like. I mean, it sounds more composed in a different way than a regular punk song, you know? But I don't know if it sounds right. Like her or anything.
Some of the other tracks that I'm not going to play probably have more of a St. Vincent sound, which she's known for being a really good guitar player, but also being like super like processed through synthesizers and stuff and Yeah, she's very highly regarded.
Fuzz pedals and stuff.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of a, it's a sort of an odd combination, I think, the two.
Sure.
Did I say the album is called The Center Won't Hold?
I don't think so.
Okay, no, I have said that. So you kind of have to listen to the whole thing to really get a feel for it, but I'm going to play one that sounds a little more like good old-fashioned Sleater-Kinney, and it's a slower one, but it's a good one, called Restless. Sleater-Kinney. So there's a little sampling of the new album. And I think they've got enough indie rock cred. They've been around long enough. They deserve to be able to like kind of do whatever they want at this point.
Sure.
And Yeah. So, I've got music news. They replaced the drummer, Janet Weiss. I kept looking this up because I was so curious, because it's weird. You've got a tour lined up, right? And you've had the same drummer for 20 years, the same band of three people, right? And you book all the tour dates, and then a month before the tour starts or whatever, maybe it was a little longer than that, it was about a month, I think. Well, I guess we need a new drummer now.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder what they even do. But
I mean, there's a lot of professional musicians out there that learn stuff fast.
And the other thing is that just being in a touring band, all these bands know all kinds of other bands and stuff, right? So they probably have people in mind, right? Anyway, so the new drummer, or at least touring drummer for Sleater-Kinney, is named Angie Boylan. And she's not related to Bob Boylan. I know that because it's spelled differently.
Oh.
Yeah.
So presumably Janet Weiss recorded it on this album, but just didn't want to perform it?
Right.
All
right. Yep.
So they didn't mess up with the drum sound.
Right, and like, there was some...
I can hear sometimes if a band I like switches drummers, like it'll just give the whole music a different feel.
Right, exactly. Right. And what they said, you know, when people wrote about it afterwards, they were like, you know, her drums are really solid on the album. And there are places where, you know, there's kind of some electronic stuff, you know, kind of mixed in with her drums. But it's not like they destroyed her drums on the album or something.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. So anyway, Angie Boylan, I looked up a little bit about her, and I can't even remember what it was now, except I think she's from the Pacific Northwest also. Sleater-Kinney are based in Portland. For some reason, in my head, I associated them with Olympia, Washington.
Really?
Does that sound right or not? Or maybe they always were Portland.
I might have said Seattle or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's now listed as Portland. But Carrie Brownstein, of course, is associated with Portland because she was on Portlandia.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Portland culture.
Right, exactly. Okay, if they made it through this, you made it through this, so I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be out of here storming out, you know?
No, not quite. Not
never
quite.
Happened.
It wasn't, the music wasn't offensive enough.
Good. that's maybe that's a different kind of insult. It was like bland, right?
But not so bland I was offended.
Right,
so,
yeah.
That's
okay.
Good.
So, okay, we kept you here. That's the main thing. Mm. So, whether we kept any listeners, I don't know. This is one of those where we should give a code. You know who always wins when we give a code at the end?
Yeah.
Jason, he always wins.
He's the first one to listen.
He's our best listener. Well, he's the only person who listens to the whole thing all the way through.
Yeah. Shout out to Jason for that.
So, yeah, if you made it this far, thanks, Jason. All right, let's sign off. We'll have you on again, I don't know, in a couple months or something, Grant? You know,
yeah.
Or whenever.
I got
you know,
exciting new stuff coming out next week, so yeah.
Good. You told me about one or two. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a big list. It's you know how the ebbs and flows of the release calendar go, and they're probably not that different with some of your stuff. But it seems like September and October are usually really big months for releases.
Yeah,
and then around November it starts to tail off, and then there's not very much in November, and there's nothing in December except you know Christmas albums.
That's pretty much the general scheme.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, and we're coming up toward the end of the decade, too, so I'm sure everybody out there is accumulating their best of the decade list. Mm-hmm. I think I told you this. I already have, like, 8 that are going to for sure be on there. So
yeah, I'm still deciding. I have a 2018 release that I didn't really know about that year that I love it right now. So
that's fun.
Yeah, got more listening to do.
Yeah. All right, very good. Let's sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.